group is this?
This is Opeth and Cusp of Eternity, kicking things off here this morning on the Phil Henry Show. Is this Slender Man? Is it what? This stuff gives me the creeps because I was just reading about this.
No, it ain't Slender Man. It's a group called God.
All right, Phil, you don't know it ain't Slender Man. Like I'm just a babbling, drooling. You know, you can resist the temptation to treat me like the drooler. Here, I got a superhero for you. How about that, the drooler?
Yeah, it's pretty good, General. The drooler. Hey, write that down.
Yeah, you write that down, man.
Now, you see, there's Middle Eastern themes in this. God damn it.
I don't know, maybe this group is from, are they from Hoshmush or something? Anyway, that's the band Opeth and the Cusp of Eternity on the Phil Henry Show.
Well, I like it because it isn't that screeching that one guy,
Yeah.
You know that one?
Guy does it better than you do.
Here's something that I do better than him, and that's drive my fist.
Hold on. Woo. All right, welcome, folks, to the Phil Henry Show here. It is our podcast here for Wednesday. Tomorrow night, it's the big night, baby. Tomorrow night is our one-man show. You know, I call it a one-man show because I don't know what else to call it. It's not a stand-up routine, and it's not...
Well, you know, you should tell people the difference between a stand-up... You keep saying this.
I think that's a good idea, Phil. The stand-up act is what?
Stand-up routine is a guy standing, telling jokes, and interacting in a way with the audience. There's no narrative.
There's no theme.
No, I wouldn't say that. I think that every comedian has a personality, you know.
Yeah, a personality. That's not a theme or anything. Well, talk about thematic.
Yes, thematic. Get a load of the big word on Robert there.
That what, because I'm black?
I didn't say because you're black.
No, wait a minute. Robert has every right to use a big word. Are you saying because he's African-American?
Wait a minute.
Hold on. Nobody's saying that. Right, he was simply saying that, yes, because you two guys seem to be knuckleheads.
I'm not a knucklehead like him. I know the big word. Yeah, well.
Okay, so whatever. Great. I don't have any problem with that.
All I was saying was, I don't know what that word means. Well, yes, I do.
Yeah, General, just quit while you're ahead, will you?
And what's that supposed to mean?
It means quit while you're ahead.
Yeah, quit while you're ahead. Like when a guy, remember the joke about the guy?
Yeah, I know the joke about the guy who's ahead. All right, so.
Well, that reminds me of a cute joke about a kid that's ahead.
Yeah, quit while you're ahead.
No, it's not that one.
Oh, I know the one. Oh, it's another hat.
God damn you, Dickman.
God!
Just kick your ass one of these days.
Everybody knows that joke.
No, not everybody knows that joke.
I knew it.
The joke about the kid who's only ahead and he, and his parents, it's his birthday, and his parents give him his birthday present. They unwrap it for him, and he looks in the box, and he's really disappointed, and they go, what's wrong? And he goes, it's another fucking hat.
Jesus, Henry. Boy, that joke's got a long shelf life with you, doesn't it?
It never fails to amuse me. Okay.
I can't do it.
Another fucking hat.
You can't say that word, huh?
No, I'd rather not. I'd rather be the one person on this staff and Robert. I notice you don't use that word, Robert.
Yeah, my aunt told me. She said, if she ever hear me use the word like that. What's she going to do, kick your ass? No. She'd be very disappointed.
Very disappointed in the language, huh? Well, I don't blame her. I think,
Oh, look at you, Phil. Boy, you sure do a lot of ass-licking on Mavis Leonard and the whole... I just...
See, that's the thing, Phil. The whole black tribe, all you do is ass-lick.
Hey. Now, let's get this out in the open once and for all, okay?
They don't say that, Mr. Henry.
And I'm not saying anything again. But everybody who's black on this show, you ass-lick, you don't... You always take the kid glove approach.
Yeah, I kind of noticed that too, Mr. Henry. No, you're saying that because you're racist, man. Yeah, I'm racist, huh? And my girlfriend's black. Ha, 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 ha. You'll never be able to take that back. Never, ever, never, never, not never.
Oh, who cares, bud?
I do.
All right, so your girlfriend's black. And so why then you act the way you do is a matter of conjecture and discussion, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're not a racist, okay? You happen to love a woman who's black, but you talk like a jerk, which is a dork and a jerk put together.
Good thinking, Phil. It's thinking on your feet.
Thank you. Thank you. You talk like a jerk, dork and jerk put together.
Very quick.
Thank you. So what is this story here?
You are always with the kid gloves when it comes to African Americans. You never jump on Robert's case the way you do everyone else's.
You want to know why? Because he keeps a low profile.
Oh, look at you, John.
You know what? I know when I'm going to be ganged up on by three of the four of you, so...
Yeah, because I'm not going to gang up on you, Mr. Harry.
Yeah, thank you very much, Robert.
Oh, for God's sake, why don't you guys just form a club and with a secret handshake?
Yeah, better yet. Well, I better not say, but why don't you just go...
Okay, man, let's...
Hey! Yeah, he's hit me!
Good.
Man, you're a punk, you know that?
What's with you, bud?
What are you talking about? I'm just kidding.
You ought to be thankful all he did was hit you with a handful of papers.
Yeah, that didn't hurt or anything.
Yeah, it did, man, because I can see you crying.
No.
Yeah, you are right there. See that?
Get your finger in my eye.
All right, you guys knock it off. You know what? My philosophy has always been this.
Are you going to address the way you ass lick on black people?
Would you just let me... My philosophy has always been this, and my philosophy has been this for many, many years. I notice now it's almost chic. I see this in a lot of the online blogs and columns. White people this, white people that. It's become chic for white people to lampoon each other and to attack oneself using some of the traditional models that were used for, race humor in the past. And so... But I've been that way for years. I've always thought it was very funny. And I mean, when I say funny, I mean really funny to mock and lampoon whites the same way that I heard black people, Polish people, Mexican people. Here are the people that used to get all the jokes that I heard when I was a kid. Black people jokes. But even those, by the time I was a kid, had taken second place to the the Polack joke, end quote.
Oh, those were very disgusting. Those were very, very troubling.
What do you mean? Which, like, give me one.
How many does it take to screw in a light bulb, that thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it's the same thing with a moron.
Yeah, well, they changed it to moron because it wasn't politically correct to say, after a while, to say, quote-unquote, Polack. In fact, Polack is an offensive term in and of itself. Mexican jokes hurt them all the time. I'm trying to think of what else. There was a joke I heard, any ethnic group other than American, it wasn't really ethnic either. If there was American, then you'd have Americans and you'd have Mexican and Chinese. I heard a joke once about the Mexican guy, the American guy, and the Chinese guy. This was a prisoner of war joke from Vietnam or some crap.
What was it?
Well, just some stupid joke about the three guys are captured. They're caught in the desert by the border patrol, and the American has a watermelon, the Chinese guy has an umbrella, and the Mexican has a car door.
Oh, I know that. I think I know this joke.
Yeah. So the Border Patrol says, you guys are in the desert here, and if I hadn't gotten you, you would have died from all of this heat. And he goes one by one. He asks the American, why are you holding the watermelon? He says, because if it gets too hot, I can, eat this fruit that's got a lot of water in it, and it'll keep me alive. And he goes, the Chinese guy, why are you holding the umbrella? And the Chinese guy says, because if it gets too hot, I can open up the umbrella. And naturally, the poor Mexican guy,
Oh, I know. And if it gets too hot, I roll the car window down, right?
God, Mr. Henry should have said it better. God damn it.
Take it easy, bud.
I hate that.
Well, Margaret's right. I wasn't telling the joke for comedic effect. I was just telling the joke so you can hear what it was.
Yeah, but you did butcher it, Margaret.
Well, excuse me. It's not my strong suit.
Yeah, the joke is, the Mexican guy says, if it gets too hot, I can roll the window down.
Well, what did I say?
Roll the car door down or so. I don't know what you said.
Yeah, you screwed it up and everything.
Oh, bud, shut up before I get so bored with what I'm doing here, which is basically working on my nails with an emery board, that I take this and jam it in one of your eyes.
God damn.
That's right.
Margaret, that some of those threats are a little scary. All right, let's take a break. No, we're not going to take a break. We're not taking a break. We're not taking a break. We're not taking a break. Now, a couple of things. Tomorrow night is our one-man show, and that is, as we got sidetracked, I said, what is a one-man show?
Well, I have the answer for you.
No, I don't want to do that. Let's not. Anyway, tomorrow night is the one-man show. It will be at the Hollywood Improv, and I've been doing some, as I said, I've been doing a little retooling and just nothing heavy, but I've been thinking a lot about the show, and I've been kind of getting a batting order. And what I mean by a batting order is where you line up the bits you want to do and so forth. And I've actually, Margaret, I've changed a couple things around.
Yes, I know.
All right, but nothing heavy. So that's tomorrow night. And as I was saying to the audience audience during the pre-show, the thing that is the single most, I think the thing that is the single most, prominent of all the things I'm thinking about is the physical energy it's going to take to do this show, because it's going to take a lot. I mean, it's going to be nonstop from beginning to end. And as much fun as I have doing this kind of thing, you know, I'm going to be on a stage, so there's going to be a physicality to it that we usually don't have. Even though this show that I do, the radio show, is really physical, and I can, at the end of any show, you know, throw the shirt away that I'm wearing. I mean, it's just soaked. Could easily put it there in the...
In a refrigerator.
Why in the refrigerator?
Washing machine?
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, it'll be a wild and groovy thing. So it's tomorrow night at the Hollywood Improv, and then hopefully, God willing, and the creek doesn't rise. Don't ask me what that means, because
not only means, it means about when it rains.
Yes, when it rains and the creek rises. And you don't want the creek to rise too much, you know, because of the...
Well, what's that got to do with comedy?
It's a saying. So, God willing, and the creek don't rise, we'll be back out doing the show near you at some very, very... at some future date, but very, very soon. All right, Bob Bacon in the traffic copter this morning here on the Phil Henry Show. Bob, how's it looking out there?
All right, now, Phil, downtown, it's looking pretty good. There's people out there. A lot of people are struggling about there, downtown. It's Bob Bacon, Phil Henry traffic.
All right.
Can I just...
Yeah.
What is the point of that?
It's something that David G. Hall wants, because he's going to be able to sell it, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, Mr. Hall's going to be on a phone later to explain all about it.
Yeah, that's great. It's not a traffic report, so there's nobody's really, you know, getting any traffic, so I'm not exactly sure what he wants. But, I'm doing what I'm told to do. I don't give a crap any longer. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just going to do what I'm told to do. All right, David G. Hall, as a matter of fact, is that him?
Yeah, Hall?
The reason why I'm doing this, Bill, is because we're selling airtime around these things.
Right, you're selling airtime for what?
I took for a traffic report.
That isn't a traffic report, though.
You don't have to... Why do you keep saying that? I can sell that traffic report. We sell four of those an hour. You do four in an hour. You do another four in the next half hour. We're doing eight traffic reports in a 90-minute period. I can sell each one of those.
But it ain't a traffic report.
What do you call it?
What do I call it? Bob Bacon going blah, blah, downtown, blah, down, downtown. That's what I'm hearing.
The what?
I'm hearing downtown.
David, it's like when we heard Phil beginning to... Remember what we were talking about?
Oh, you're talking about Margaret. She wants to talk about something where there was a misunderstanding. They thought that you had... Your IQ was beginning to go down quickly, and they weren't sure what to do. But that, we'll talk about that later.
Wait, hold on.
No, we'll talk about it later.
No, we'll talk about it right now. What do you mean my IQ was going down?
I heard a moment in the show where we thought your IQ was doing a spontaneous and rapid drop.
What does that mean?
That's what she said.
Well, it's not mental. It wasn't any kind of mental deficiency. It wasn't. It was you were getting, Bud?
Yeah, you were getting dumber in a rapid rate.
Yeah, about that. That's true, Miss Henry.
What the hell are you talking about?
See how we got sidetracked?
Let me take a break. All right, I understand what you're saying.
Okay, so you know what I'm saying? That's eight traffic reports in 90 minutes, man. That's money. That's real money. That's spending money for you, spending money for me. See what I'm saying? When you get it, I get it. When I get it, you'll get it. And when you...
Thank you very much, David.
Well, he doesn't like being hung up on.
Do I look like a guy that cares? Do I look like a guy that's going to waste time and precious hours of sleep over that? The answer to that question, of course, is no, I am not. All right, we're going to be right back on the Phil Henry Show because we got some weird... What is this thing now?
Now, Phil, this is the other morning. It all was... You were talking about something.
You know, you were talking about something, and all of a sudden you started going down, 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 and we thought it was a spontaneous IQ drop.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to be back to talk about this one, man. I can't wait to hear the answer to this question, which is, what are these jackballs talking about? A spontaneous IQ drop. World famous. Speaking of spontaneous IQ drop, here is Five Finger Death Punch. I'm kidding. I'm just joking.
That is very cool. This is a good group.
Oh, this is a good... Listen to you.
Yeah, Margaret, geez, you sound like some... Destiny. You sound like a little kid missing two teeth eating a big wad of cheese.
You know, you haven't heard the last of this.
Yeah, I hope not. I was born... The world-famous Phil Henry Show is brought to you by Brewer Dairies. Brewer Dairies with milk, cheeses, yogurts, and kefirs. Your entire family will enjoy immersing themselves in Brewer Dairies' fine cheese products. Brewer Dairies, it's not just Wisconsin, it's right in the guts of Wisconsin. It's right up the ass of Wisconsin, a cow's ass.
Brewer Dairies, Mom, I like the cheese they have there.
Brewer Dairies bringing you the Phil Henry Show this morning. Brewer Berries. Until the day I die. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh.
There's the part. Look at this. Here's the Bergdahl handoff. God damn it.
Is this frost you?
It pisses me off. Let's see. There's some of our warbirds up there. But I tell the Air Force, go ahead and unload what you got, son. Give them everything you got. Drop it on my pod.
Drop it on your pod?
Does that mean drop the bombs right on where you are?
That's exactly right. If I was down there and I knew that this turkey, this Bergdahl turkey was... I'd say, go ahead and expend all ordnance on my pod.
And what if he wasn't there?
I guess I'm dead and he still walks around wearing that stupid dress. So General Galen Shaw, a patriot, is dead, and this guy Bergdahl's walking around in a bathrobe. God damn it.
Really bugs you, huh?
Yes, it does.
Till the day I die. All right. Five Finger Death Punch. They've got a couple on there. They cover Bad Company. They cover, of course, House of the Rising Sun. Big, big album for that band. Great band, too. Where are these cats from, Five Finger Death Punch?
I think they're American, but oh, Las Vegas.
Las Vegas?
Isn't that right?
No, double check. Yeah, they are from of America.
Great. I'm glad they're from of America. All right.
Well, that's where they're from.
Yes, I understand that. We always like to just get some of the ins and the outs. Where's that Opeth from, too? I want to find out about them. They sound like they come from Middle Earth or something.
Yeah, that stuff sounds like real weird gone stuff. I want you to check. Plus, I heard some Middle Eastern stuff going on there.
Oh, let's not get too paranoid this early in the morning, General, if you don't mind. All right, I want to find out from you, Margaret, and is it David? Was David the one that was talking about that?
Well, it originated, though, with Mavis Leonard. You were talking about Mavis.
Yeah, my mom talked about it. She thought it was a spontaneous IQ drop.
What is with this spontaneous IQ drop?
You got dumb, Phil. And it was a dumbism, not dumbism, but it was a dumb ability.
You're going to talk to my aunt.
All right, get your aunt on the phone and we'll talk to her. Mavis Leonard is going to join us here on the Phil Henry Show to talk about the dumb acidness or whatever the hell. Let's start using some words around here that exist, all right? Mavis, hi, good morning. How are you, dear?
I'm doing good, Phil. I want you down. Don't you worry about a thing, Robert. I told you to tell the man not to worry about anything.
I told him not to worry, but he got upset.
I said it was a spontaneous IQ drop. That's what I thought, and I realized what was happening. You are simply stumbling over your words, and the reason why I know that is I heard a Chinese just about 2 days ago, and it's a Chinese man in a parking lot. And I said, my God, I made a bad mistake with Mr. Henry. I thought I told you about that, Robert.
You don't told me about the Chinese man. You didn't say it related to this.
But it does relate to that.
Okay, so what was going on?
go on the air, you were talking to Margaret, you're talking to Miss Margaret, you're talking to Robert, you're talking to Bud Dickman, and you're talking here to General Shaw. And you went, abba-hada-ba-ba-ba-ba, like that. Now, you remember that day?
Yes, I do. Now I do, yeah. Yeah.
And we thought you had gone, that you'd gone dumb.
You guys thought that all of a sudden there was something. I think you said that I had Lou Gehrig's disease.
No, no, that was yesterday morning. That you thought you had Lou Gehrig's disease when you said BFP. This is another time.
Yeah, okay, this is another time. What is it with you guys? You think because I'm getting on in years and suddenly I've got Lou Gehrig's disease?
No, no, Phil, we're just looking out for your well-being.
All right. So, hold on. You were talking and you went, halabada. Now, I come back from the grocery store and I said to Robert, my God, we made a very bad mistake. You got to get on the phone, Mr. Henry and everyone, and tell them what has been done. He said, why? Because I was coming out of the Lucky with the grocery store over here.
Right.
And I heard a Chinese man. And at first I thought this man, his mind was coming unglued, because I heard him going, ha-da-ba-ha-ba-ba-ha-da-ba. And then I realized that's a Chinese talk.
Yeah, you know that, Missouri? They go tong-tong-tong-tong.
I'll do it, Robert. Don't, goddamn. And I heard the Chinese man going, tong-tong-tong-tong, like that. And I said, geez, that's exactly what Phil did. So you weren't having a spontaneous brain. Your brain didn't collapse. And your ability to think about things hadn't suddenly gone right into the, you know, I mean, let's be honest. Your ability to think about things and to rationalize things had not gone straight into the toilet.
No, it hadn't, and it hasn't.
Right. And what had happened was you simply stumbling over your words.
But it took you hearing a Chinese guy.
Yeah, because nobody ever heard that before. You have to understand, Stanley. In America, we never hear people go, ha-da-ha-da-da-da. Only a Chinaman is going to do that.
Let's not use the word Chinaman.
Forgive me. I'm saying only a Chinese man or woman would do that.
Oh, no, wait. So you're saying...
Like right there, Jenny, you said, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. You know, if I, thank God I heard that Chinese guy. Otherwise, we'd have to put you...
Yeah, they'd have to tie you to a gurney.
That's right. They'd have to tie you to a gurney and test you for Chinese.
All right, you know, I'm going to get up. I'm going to walk this one off because it hurts, it stings, and you know,
what does it sting? Why does it sting?
Because, you know, she thought that I'd gone Chinese.
I don't mean that in terms of being a traitor. I'm just simply saying you had gone. What you just did, you went da 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 da. So please understand that my feeling is that you all know Phil had not. His brain had not dried up, and it was now coming unglued. Because when your brain dries up, the next thing happens, it comes unglued, and you've got sections of brain floating around in there, and nothing is connected to nothing.
Yeah, I understand. All right. So, by the way, here's this little girl, Morgan Geyser, who sees Slenderman in her dreams. She draws Slenderman in crayon on a napkin when they're out to dinner. So this girl, I think, is psychotic. She's got some psychotic fixation.
What's this got to do with your mind? Jesus.
Phil, let's stay on topic here.
No, I'm sorry. Just,
Yeah, Phil, we'll get on to Slenderman.
Mavis, as a teacher, as a retired teacher, what do you think of this whole Slenderman thing?
I don't know. These kids today, they're looking at Slenderman. I wouldn't know Slenderman. I don't want to talk about Slenderman, because I hear the term Slenderman. There's not a woman out there that hears that and thinks that's good. You know, in the strictest sense of the word.
All right, so, thank you. So, all right, so I'm fine, and you heard a Chinese guy in the parking lot going, hong, tong, dong, and now you realize what was happening.
I realized what was happening, right. And I'm sorry if I come... I'm sorry if I come upon this in a weird way, but I wanted you to know, because I've come out of the parking lot, I heard this man going, hong, bong, 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 and I said, what did you just say? He said, don't worry about it. And I said, goddamn, I'll be goddamned if you're not Chinese. And he just looked at me, his big eyes. And I said, I bet that's about as white. Well, never mind, I won't be racial. But then I come to the phone. I got home, and I talked to Robert, said he'd go to the phone.
And that's why I called you.
Well, all you told me was that we realize now that you aren't as stupid as we thought you were. Thank you very much for that.
Well, sorry, Phil, we're not trying to offend you.
No, not at all. All right.
Well, Phil.
Wait a minute. There, look at that. See, there goes the microphone again. Phil, we are not trying to offend you.
Yeah, I just heard that. All right, thank you very much. See that? So this pot here, this mic pot is definitely going. So we're going to have to find out when. When is that damn digital board going to get here, Robert?
Talk to Elaine. She said it's on order.
I know it's on order. How long does it take to spend money in the world of electronic equipment and radio equipment and podcast equipment? Do you guys not want my money? Is that what the problem is here? Because we can find another company real fast. You know, just like I'm supposed to be getting a TriCaster back here. I just paid the bill on that TriCaster. Where is it? Right? And if you think I'm going to be taking a trip over there to look at their new equipment and what new offers they have on you are sadly mistaken, man. I ain't going over and doing business with these cats until I get my old TriCaster back and I start to get the lay of the land on this thing. And as far as the digital board, if I don't get this board in here, we'll just go to another company and buy it. You know, because...
Well, people don't want to hear these problems. They've got problems of their own.
I understand that, but I thought maybe they could relate. All right.
No, they can't relate to you bellyaching and bitching about your damn digital board. We'll get it when we get it.
All right, fine, General. Wait, would you like to get in the car and go pick it up?
No, that's... What do you mean? I'm going to go pick it up. Boy, you every time you Porky Pig on me or you go Chinese, this is where we start to worry.
Yeah. All right, so anyway, I'm sorry I got sidetracked by that whole Slenderman bullcrap, but there it is right there in black and white. They stabbed this kid, these two brats in Wisconsin, which seems to be the home of weird. I'm sorry. Why do people dump it on California when more and more and more and more all this weird crap is happening everywhere else in the country? California, I think, was the capital of weird for the longest time because California was the sort of a cultural epicenter for a lot of that stuff. But now that we have the electronic, the digital, and the otherwise high-speed communications that we have, of course, we've always had high-speed communications ever since the telegraph, right?
Well, what do you mean?
I mean the communications have been high-speed ever since the telegraph.
That's pretty it's true, Mr. Henry, they be high speed.
Faking a Porky Pig.
I said speed, high speed.
Well, you didn't say it clean.
All right. I want to have a little less criticism here about people not speaking exactly because it is relatively early in the morning. I realize it's after 12 noon on the East Coast, but this is the West Coast where everybody drags their ass out of bed really late, even though we have a very productive economy and we kick ass on most of the other countries of the world, let alone the states.
All right.
Thank you. All right. Of course, I'm being facetious, sort of. No, this Slender Man, this is what I'm talking about.
This is what you were talking about before, about the psychotic as opposed to the psychopathic. Now, this girl saying that she's stabbed for Slender Man, what makes you think she's psychotic?
Because the kid said she's seeing this stuff in her sleep. She's talking to this Slender Man guy. She's drawing him. The girl is fixated on this. There's something wrong with her mind. There's nothing wrong necessarily with the Slender Man character other than the fact that it's a hell of a thing to expose an impressionable child to. I don't know. You know, I used to have weird dreams when I was a kid, but I didn't think they were real, and I sure as hell didn't go out and act on them. I realized it was a dream. And these kids that are out, this child stabbing another individual, another kid, because of Slender Man. This is a kid that has got problems upstairs, man. And when we find out what's up with this child, and I mean, what kind of home does she live in? What kind of, was she symptomatic? Were the things that she was doing before this? What kind of relationship does she have with her siblings? What does she even live in a functional home at all? Is there a mental illness? Was she ever talked to by a psychiatrist? Were her teachers? You know, all this stuff. And the other thing is, you don't necessarily have to feed them drugs, do you? I mean...
Well, that's the whole thing. I don't know.
Belmont Park readies... Now I'm all bummed out.
Yeah, nice going, man.
God, Henry, you know, we're trying to do a show here that gives people a couple of giggles, and there you are with Slender Man. I got your Slender Man swinging.
All right, we'll get off of Slender Man.
No, I got Slender Man... I got Slender Man swinging back and forth and then kind of backward and hitting my ball sack. Yeah, no kidding. Slender Man.
All right, shut up. All right, we'll be right back here on the Phil Henry Show. Slender Man is swinging back and hitting my ball sack.
Well, of course you have to repeat it.
Well, Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, the Amity Affliction here, and a reminder that we're online at philhenryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you have access to 10,000 hours and more of some of the most unique radio ever heard in the history of man on this planet. And it is just, it's getting bigger and badder and better all the time. PhilHenryShow.com. For $9.99, you can be a all-access pass holder, or you can get our audio-only pass. And I can tell you this, there's no better buy online other than porn when it comes to spending your entertainment dollars. If, yes, you have an opportunity to subscribe to, you know, oldladies.com or I don't know, whatever, you know. I know I have a 2-year subscription to that, but
you're kidding, right?
Gee, let me see. Yes.
This Phil Henry Show is brought to you by Cupertino Ford. Go to Cupertino today and drive out in a Chevy. That's right, a Chevy, even though it's Cupertino Ford, because they ran out of Fords and, frankly, more people are buying Chevys. Cupertino Ford, drive out in a Chevy.
What if I came there for a Ford, for Christ's sake?
Excuse me, General, I'm doing the commercial. Cupertino Ford, drive out in a Chevy.
Jesus, hey.
And I feel so fucking helpless when I should be your relief.
Here's a guy that, you know, probably is doing the bidding of Slender Man. I don't know. All right, anyway.
Oh, that's real funny.
Sorry. That's Amity Affliction, Don't Lean on Me. And by the way, there will come a time when a cat that sings like that, I'll just go up on stage and slap his face. You know, just, what are you complaining? Just boom, you know. And,
yeah, that guy's, that's the voice of Satan.
Oh, I forgot about that, the voice of Satan. Okay, Bob Bacon up in the air, going to give us some more of that traffic. Bob, go ahead.
Hey, Phil, I'm here with overly above and further than Slenderman. In downtown, you're seeing all the overhangs and the overhang. And my bud said, Slenderman hitting the ball sack in the back of my ass. This traffic report brought to you by Back of the Ass Ford. Back of the Ass Ford, going back of the ass. Get yourself Ford. Bob Bacon, traffic.
What's the name of the sponsor?
Back of the Ass Ford.
No.
Back of the Ass Ford.
Well, look, Phil, don't start talking about, because you're going to get dick. Here he is.
Yeah, Mr. Hall. Hold on, Mr. Hall. It's Mr. Hall.
Really? I didn't know that it was Mr. Hall. How would I know that it was Mr. Hall?
Yeah, I was talking to him. I thought maybe.
Yeah, well, I. Yes, David, what's up?
What is this with you questioning the sponsor? The Back of the Ass Ford. That's the name of the town, Back of the Ass.
Where is that?
All of a sudden, you're asking questions on the air about sponsors? Back of the Ass Ford is in California, as far as I know. It's a desert community, okay? It used to be a very, very wealthy mineral town, mineral exporting and a railroad junction, and now they haven't got anything there but a Ford dealership. That's it. Back of the Ass, California.
And they're advertising on my podcast, huh?
Yeah, if you'd like, we'll give them their money back.
No, no, it's okay. And they have Chevys.
No, that's a different commercial. That was Cupertino Ford. No, this is Back of the Ass Ford, Back of the Ass, California.
Do they sell Fords?
Let me see. Yes.
Mr. Hall, I got to tell you something.
What?
You went, let me see. So?
All right, well, it's because I'm hanging around Henry too much. Back of the Ass Ford, it's in back.
Thank you.
Mademoiselle, he did say that, though.
Yeah, I did. I did detect. He said, well, let me see.
Okay, so he said, let me see. You guys, I'm telling you, who told you to be on the lookout for lisping and all of that stuff?
Yeah, well, it's just this, the radio announcing game has made us very conscious of this.
Phil, all we're doing is being mindful of how the show sounds, that's all.
All right, let's talk about the Belmont Park readying for California Chrome. As I was saying during the pre-show, there ain't nothing like a great horse race, man. I just love it. Art Sherman got his first glimpse of California Chrome in action in 2 weeks, and the trainer liked what he saw. Sherman arrived Monday afternoon and watched his Triple Crown contender gallop at Belmont Park Tuesday morning. It was the first time Sherman had observed the chestnut colt since he captured the Preakness. Who did the song Chestnut Mare? Was that the Birds?
What? Who?
There was a song called Chestnut Mare, I think.
What's that?
A song called Chestnut Mare.
Chestnut? I'm kidding.
Yeah. I thought he looked better now than he did after the Preakness, Sherman said. I couldn't believe. Well, of course he looks better now because he had a race. Right after the Preakness, he just run God knows how long, and he was tired.
I'll do it. I couldn't believe.
Don't take that away from me. I'll do it. Here, let me do it. Give me that. I thought...
Yeah, I can look.
If I tear this copy, I'm going to tear this place apart and throw it into the street.
You know what?
I'm going to tear it apart. I thought he looked better now than he did after the Preakness, Sherman said. I couldn't believe how much weight he put on. Going on the Triple Crown Trail, it's kind of rough. He's an amazing horse. I couldn't believe how much weight he put on. Oh, okay, so they lose a lot of weight after the race. California Chrome will try for the first Triple Crown since Affirmed in 1978 with a $1.5 million Belmont Stakes on Saturday. The flashy three-year-old with four white feet will be the heavy favorite in the mile-and-a-half Belmont, known as the Test of the Champion for its history of crushing Triple Crown dreams. Only 11 horses have swept the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont in the same year. Only 11 Triple Crown winners. There have been 11 triple tries since Affirmed, the most recent being Big Brown in 2008. He won the first two legs and then was eased by jockey Kent Desmereaux in the Belmont.
What does that mean, eased?
He eased the horse because he felt that he didn't have it in him, and he wasn't going to, you know, beat the crap out of the animal. He was, you know, just going to let the horse ride it out.
You mean he didn't try and win?
He did not try and win. After a certain point...
Yeah, well, that's kind of cheating the betters.
Will you listen to me? After a certain point, you're not going to beat the hell out of the animal. Either he's got it in him or he doesn't. A very good jockey knows this. And you're not, if you're in last place, are you going to keep going to the whip on this poor animal and just, no.
Well, I don't like the fact that they go to the whip on them anyway.
Well, you know what, Margaret, take it up with the jockeys and the trainers. A good jockey knows when to go to the whip, knows when not to. A good jockey, and it's a sting, man, when they're hitting the horse. It's like a sting. Only 11 horses have swept the Kentucky Derby. Why do you guys get me sidetracked with this bullcrap?
Listen, Henry, all we're talking about is, you know, why they eased him up. Because if I had money on that horse...
I don't care if you had money on the horse. Nobody cares if you had money on the horse. I don't give a damn if every guy in that damn track had money on Big Brown, which they probably did. But the jockey eased that horse because he did not want to kill the animal, knowing he wasn't going to win the race. The race was well out of his grasp, and maybe the horse was laboring under what was perceived by the jockey to be an injury. Maybe the horse was laboring for some other reason. There might have been some perception on the part of the jockey that he was pushing the horse too hard and that there was some reticence in the animal to run this race. So you're not going to keep pushing an animal like that. You're just going to just ease up and let the winner win and let your horse go across the finish line in due time.
But what if it takes a whole like day or something?
Yeah, what if it takes the horse a day? I'd be standing there waiting with my ticket in my hand.
Yeah, I'll bet you would, Dickman.
What a jackpot, Dickman. Are you trying to tell me and every assembled person here that you'd stand there with your little $2 ticket waiting for Big Brown to come across, well, even though he got his ass beat and he's dead last? What if it was like 5? What if it was like 10 o'clock or 5? What if it's 5 a.m. or 10 p.m.?
What?
You know what I said.
In other words, the general's saying, are you going to stand there with your damn ticket even after you know the horse is lost?
There's always hope. I never give up no hope.
Bud, that's an admirable position to take, but when your horse has lost, it's lost.
Oh, yeah. You guys had quit.
Bud, I'm going to quit when I see another horse win. You know what I'm saying?
What?
No, if another horse wins, man, what are you going to stand there with your ticket for?
Because I'm waiting for my horse to finish the race. He may win.
He's not going to win if the other horse came across the... What a jackass, man.
Dickman, you know something? You're trying my patience. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now, my friend. You may get shot and you may get killed, but you're going back up on the front lines. I'm General Galen Shaw. Well, wait a minute.
Yeah, you're not back in Vietnam.
You're right.
General Shaw, your mind's drying up and it's going to come unglued.
I'll tell you what's going to come unglued. All of your limbs and your head from your body. That'll come unglued.
All right, take it the hell easy here, folks. It's Bud, after all.
No, what's that mean? I'm dumb?
Let me tell you this, man. If you're standing there with your did you bet him to win?
Generally, I don't. Generally, I bet show.
You bet show. So that means the horse has got to come in third.
Yeah, that's why I'm waiting to see.
Even if it's like Dickman, the first three horse. Where's your horse?
He may be fourth.
Well, what are you talking about then? We're talking about dead last.
I don't understand if he's dead last.
How long do you think it takes for... No. I will be heard. Hold on.
But, Margaret...
No, I will... How long, Bud, do you think it takes for a third-place horse to come in third?
It could. You can't never know. You don't know. Horse. That's the great thing about sports. Like Mr. Henry says, you never do know.
I ain't telling you that you got to wait until 10 o'clock at night for a third-place horse. What's wrong with you, man?
Well,
the third-place horse is going to come in just a split second behind the first-place horse, or a few seconds. It ain't going to be a half an hour. And it ain't going to be... The longest it ever took a horse to come across the finish line, in my memory, was some, like, last-place nag, man. I don't even know, you know.
Well, how long would it be?
Probably several seconds. Maybe like 8 seconds, maybe 10 seconds. I mean, that's a long way. Horse wins... See, here's the first place horse. Now count to 10, bud.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8.
Count to 10 in 10 seconds.
Oh.
Okay, go.
1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005, 1,000. Are you going to eat that?
Oh, yeah, I want that loose.
1,000.
Will you do it right, please?
What?
1,001, are you going to eat that? I want it in seconds.
Phil, we get it.
No. Do it.
Starting now?
Starting now.
When did the horse go across the finish line?
See this hand, bud?
All right. Okay. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005, 1,000.
What are you crying for?
My ass itches. Then I got to reach down and up in the crack and itch it. Like, my mind is not...
All right, get out of here, bud, will you, for God's sake?
Go itch your ass in the other room, bud, if you don't mind.
I got to put two fingers up there.
Get out of here. My ass itches.
It does?
He said... Do you guys get the general idea?
Yes, it's a long damn time.
You got it. 10 seconds, man, is a long time for the last place horse, man. That's a long distance. So if you're waiting until 10 o'clock at night, man, you've got to shut the trap. You got to finally just go out there and shoot the horse.
Mamacita, that's really cruel.
I don't ever... I hope I never see that. An animal destroyed on the track like that.
You know what I'm tired of seeing now? I'm tired of looking at this guy Bergdahl. Can you guess? Just give it a rest. Already, I mean, either the guy is a douchebag or he isn't. Either the guy, whatever. Okay, I've been listening to all this the stuff, General. What do you think?
Well, I do understand that we leave no man behind on the battlefield. This is absolutely the preeminent concern of the civil administration of the military. However, having said that, if this jive turkey is walked off post and was giving aid and comfort to the enemy. And I don't know what that means. God help. I pray to Christ that this guy wasn't gob, you know.
What?
Well, they say aid and comfort. I never know what they mean. You think this guy was gobbing cone over there?
What are you talking about gobbing cone?
I don't know if this Bergdahl wandered into a Taliban camp and start...
Yeah, probably just going, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's what he was doing. I'm sure that was the first thing on his mind.
Well, I don't know. If you're giving aid and comfort to the enemy, isn't that the first thing you'll think of?
That is absolutely sick and disgusting. It might be the first thing I think of, but I'm a woman.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you for that piece of information.
Oh, I see. That makes me a slut. I'm trying to save my own life.
All right. General, thank you very much. Thank you very much for that information. Larry Grover is going to be on the line with us here. Runoff appears certain for a six-term Republican senator in Mississippi. There are places where the Tea Party is faring fairly well. Maybe not the greatest in the world, but they are faring fairly. I don't know what I'm trying to say. World-famous Phil Henry. She'll be right back here. Here is DJ Snake. Tomorrow night, it's our one-man show at the Hollywood Improv, 8 o'clock Thursday night, sold out. But we have other shows planned. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Here's the world-famous Phil Henry Show on a podcast and everything. And you can listen to all five and then go to the website and get the other ones that are behind a paywall with a subscription of the Phil Henry Show, a subscription.
And where is that?
PhilHenryShow.com. Go to PhilHenryShow.com and do it today. And no ice in my drink, got enough in my watch. Yeah.
And these girls gone wild. Shots got us turned up, so we can't turn down. VIP getting served like tennis ball. Bank account dizzy, cause we spend it all. Getting paid, turned up, ain't no better way. After that I'm smoking, I stay at the heaven gates. In the club, and she gone off the Snow White. Pouring up, activists, I need more Sprite. Throw this cash, watch me start a riot. Lead a club, then we taking chicks to the high.
All right, that is DJ Snake here on the Phil Henry Show. Juicy J in there, too, and it's just Marvelosity. All right, Larry Grover is on the line with us here from Culver City, California. What am I hearing in the back? Is that music, Larry?
Yeah, it is music. We're reviewing, and I'm reviewing for the Conservatives of Kern County a new series of pornography. Forgive me if you want me to turn this down. Mother one, damn it.
Joan is right. It's Gloria Grover still.
Gloria, how are you?
Larry's reviewing pornography, and now he wants to turn it off because he's on the phone with you. And I said, you have to be honest with him. He's looking at anal. Anal.
Mother, did you have to say? I'm going to turn this off in a moment, Phil, but I am reviewing this for the citizens of the Conservatives of Kern County pornography review for the first quarter of 2014. Is that what this year is? Yes, 2014.
Are you kidding? You don't know what year it is?
Yes, I know what year. It's been a very traumatic year.
Well, Phil, I'm being forced to look at anal.
Mother, if you don't want to see it, go in the other room. Why are you here? Mother is in here with scrambled eggs, English muffins, sausage, and eating, bacon and looking at these films, and now she's complaining about it.
Well, he said he wanted me to watch TV.
Mother, you came in with your little TV tray, and she sat down and she's watching these films.
Well, why are you watching this porn?
Because it is a part of our porn review, the Conservatives of Kern County, which we call the Court Review, or Pop Your Court.
And well, what is that supposed to mean?
It warns. What do you mean, what is that supposed to mean?
Look at Grover, when you say pop your cork, Conservatives of Kern County, that's cockra, that's not cork.
Okay, do you have to be specific? Look, don't be such a hard ass. What we're trying to do is make it sound good.
Well, what? How does that sound good, the Pop Your Cork porn review?
Because we're warning fam. Oh, forget it, man. Turn it off. Turn it the hell off. God damn it. Just go ahead and turn it off. And I give a crap. I gotta go in here now and I'm fixing myself some breakfast if it's okay with you guys.
Yeah, it's fine. I didn't mean for you to turn it off. I just wanted to know what it was.
Well, in general, Shaw starts giving me a hard time.
Larry was watching it, Phil, and I didn't want to have to look at anal.
God damn it.
Okay. Gloria, thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
All right. So Larry, we wanted to talk to you here about the Mississippi runoff for... Now, I understand the Republican Party is in another battle here with the Tea Party, and you are a Tea Party guy. That's your party, man. So, that's your segment or faction of the Republican Party. How are you feeling about this?
Well, I mean, I want Republicans to win, but as long as it's close, of course we want the Tea Party guy. Of course we. Who wouldn't? I mean, if you're a real Republican, a real conservative, you want the Tea Party to win. And the Tea Party is the true conservative party. Now, I know that you have asked me in the past about specifics when it comes to the Tea Party, and I probably haven't had very satisfactory answers. The reason for that, Phil, is you take the typical tack that a lot of members of the media take. You're asking me all of these loaded questions. Why do I support Medicare and yet I don't like Obama? A lot of nonsense that I don't think we need. And plus, my stand on gay rights, abortion, and prayer, and the religion. And you see, I don't think it's fair.
Look, Larry, if you call yourself a less government, less taxes kind of a guy, getting yourself involved in all of those moral issues, suddenly you're just another fundamentalist far right Republican. There's no difference between you and the whole Jerry Falwell faction of the Republican Party back in the 80s, the one that really Ronald Reagan got going. No disrespect intended to the former president, but I mean it was under Reagan that the whole fundamentalist thing got cranking through the right, and the Tea Party is just an extension of that.
You really don't get it, do you, Henry? This is completely secular.
No, it's not. Not with a lot of you guys. You guys are going to have to get on the same page, okay?
Look at it. I just provoked Henry into a fight. Ha, ha, ha. Now I got you angry.
Bill, you can't let this turkey do that to you.
And I don't like being called turkey either. And by the way, I did look up that song, Jive Turkey, by the Ohio Players. and it goes, jive turkey, well, well, well. Okay?
Yeah, so what? I know that song. That's exactly what I said.
No, I don't think so.
Well, who cares whether you guys know Jive Turkey by the Ohio Players?
Well, because this guy here, General Schiff, I may be allowed, General Shaw, for just a moment, you were the one that was saying that you know the song Jive Turkey by the Ohio Players, and you were singing it. You know, and
Wait. I said that I knew that song Jive Turkey because that's my way of saying some guy like you, for instance, Grover, is a real jive
turkey.
Well, yeah, but it goes beyond that. It goes well beyond Jive Turkey. It goes to almost Jive Bunny. Do you know the song Jive Bunny?
Oh, I think I know Jive Bunny, yes.
Maybe Jive Bunny. Are you guys trying to... If you're trying to mess with me, man.
No, they're Jive Bunny. Jive Bunny is some kind of a novelty song. We're talking about the song. Who cares about Jive Turkey? All right, my question for either one, General, if you don't mind.
All right.
Larry, my question for you has to do specifically with this Mississippi race. Now, what exactly are you guys going to do? How are you going to win this thing? And does this give you hope for the future?
Does it give me hope for the... You better believe it gives us all hope for the future. We feel that this race in Mississippi is the biggest thing that's happened to the Tea Party in years. The fact that we're still in the headlines, the fact that we still have got a shot, the fact that we're still alive. Oh, my God. You know, after all of the crap we've taken, after all of the insults and the abuse, oh, you bunch of Tea Party wackos. I saw the thing on your page, reality this way, Tea Party meeting the opposite way. So, in other words, I'm living in a world of weird. I'm living in a world of weird, and it's getting weirder all the time. I might as well be out there with Slender Man. That's what you're saying. You're basically saying that.
No, I don't think so, Larry. I think that that far be it from us to say that you're living in the world of Slender Man. What we're trying to say... What is this?
Hey!
That's Jive Turkey!
That's your old lady over there,
no, Jack. Man. That ain't none of mouth.
Yeah, right here. This is it.
No, no. What I mean, this is it.
Yeah, I recognize the song.
Well, you're right. This is Jive Turkey.
I used to think that you were really cool.
They're singing this about the Tea Party now. Jive Turkey, well, well, well.
Yeah, baby, you're
right. Yeah, you're exactly right about that, because that's how I see you clowns, Grover.
Larry's been singing this song, Jive Turkey,
almost. Mommy, would you please? Oh, forget it, man. I'm not going to waste my time and my precious...
Yeah, but I'll tell you something, Grover. This is you. This is you all the way. Jive Turkey. Well, well, well.
Larry hates Jive Turkey because he doesn't like black people.
That is a lie, Mother. That's a filthy lie.
I'm only kidding.
That's very cruel, Glory, to say that about your son. Can we turn this down, please?
I like the song Jive Turkey, the
Hot Wheels. Yeah, right here. This song reminds me of you, Grover, and all of you clowns in the Pea Party.
Party, huh?
Jive Turkey.
Trust in you.
I'm asking you to turn that off, Henry.
No, don't keep it playing, Phil. This is the whole Tea Party. Jive Turkey.
It's insulting to the Tea Party to play Jive Turkey.
Would you put your mother off the phone, please?
What?
Get your mother off the phone, man!
Mother, they don't want you on the phone.
I know, Larry doesn't like the truth being spoken, Phil. Tea Party's just jive.
Well, you got that right, Mrs. Grover. The whole Tea Party is jive.
All right, okay.
Oh, I guess I'm getting hung up on, huh?
No, we have to go, man. I'm sorry we have to go. We're doing hour-long shows this week. I apologize.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. Jive Turkey, well, 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 well.
Whatever, man.
Well, you really blew Larry off the line, didn't you?
Yeah, you said blue.
Oh, that's right. Write that down, please.
Speaking of the filth file, we've had a few submissions this morning. Do you want to go through those?
We have had submissions to Margaret Gray, to the Margaret Gray fan club, I should say, and there have been quite a few. Let me get over here to Facebook. I want to thank specifically Craig Fisher, who this morning sent us one. I'm going to try to find this now, Phil. He sent us one from Canada, and I found this to be particularly disturbing I didn't like the Canada. Where's my Facebook page?
We'll find it here. Hold on. You didn't like what?
I didn't like the fact that Canada, not Canada, but Canada.
Yeah, see, you call it Canada.
Would you shut your filthy hole?
All right, here it is here. This is from Craig Fisher in Newfoundland, Canada. And we'll try to get this over onto the Phil TV. People can look at it. It says dildo.
Yes. Did you have to do that?
Yeah, sure. Dildo.
That's the name of the town. There's a town in Newfoundland called Dildo. And this, again, sent in by Craig Fisher from the fine people north of the border. And you have some other ones here, Margaret, as long as we're on the subject. Now, here's one here.
Yes, this is Cum Park Plaza. Made me want to vomit my guts up when I saw this. These are, excuse me if I don't mention your name. Those of you that have sent this in, Cum Park Plaza, C-U-M. It's in, I guess it's in New York State somewhere. Here's one, Bud, that you'll like.
That's your Bud's Fudge Cookies.
Yeah, man, you took a big shot.
How do you feel about that, Bud?
I don't care about it.
No, you wouldn't care, would you? And that's why I put it here, to shame you and for everyone to see this. Bud's Fudge Cookies. Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll bet they are.
Oh, yeah, right. Were you saying I can't? Oh, my God, you saying I get my fudge pet? And
all right, shut up. Bud's Fudge Cookie. Well, you know, you got to read it and weep, Bud.
Yeah, right.
Oh, a minute ago, you thought it was really funny. Now you don't think it's funny anymore. Here's another one. Oh, this is just that group of waiters that I took a photograph. Here's the TNA Service Plaza. The rest of these, I think, people have seen. And this, of course, is that group, Natural Law. There's a bunch of other bands here. But when you look at these filthy pictures, I'm sure you'll agree that something has to be done, and that's why we do have our filth file.
All right. And by the way, here's the Slut March. How did that film do for you, Margaret?
Oh, the Slut March is still being shown in very select locations.
Yeah, I heard it stiffed.
You heard it did what?
Stiffed.
I'm gonna beat you.
Ow, Buck, just hit me with that.
I'll rip your head clean off. You know, you gotta say to yourself, do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Yeah.
Margaret, if it's not stiffing, I understand people are watching Slut March. We're on a Slut March going to, well, anyway, that's Margaret Gray's independent film that she wrote and directed, and we do, Margaret, wish you all of the luck in the world with Slut March. All right, that just about concludes this show. As a matter of fact, it does conclude the show, with the exception of concluding the show. The world-famous Phil Henry Show has been presented here on TuneIn and on Listen Live, and we hope you're hearing us not only on your desktop but on your mobile. Wherever you are in the world, man, the Phil Henry Show is. So if you got a smartphone, that's where we are. So no excuses. All these people that say, well, you know, I can't pick you up on my radio anymore. I don't know what to tell you. Maybe you just don't really care, and that's okay. But, hey, we are anywhere in the world there's a smartphone, man. That's where we are. All right, see you tomorrow morning and in the big one-man show tomorrow night at the Hollywood Improv. Mostly I were chasing around
bobs. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Phil Henry in association with Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on the Sideshow Network.
Dive turkey. Well, well, well. Party girls, let me know where they at. Skinny rich girls always asking where the yay at. Throw a house party like who, where you stay at. Turn upside down, let her twerk on the wall. Took her to the bathroom and did work in the stall. Yeah. They used to tell me I couldn't.
It ain't funny what I've been through. Your enemy can be some kin to
that's
you.
That's right.
I started off hella broke. Hung around people that's older than me, took notes. Mama worked 3 jobs on the weekends. Used to help her wash the walls at Mare Island.
Mare Island?
And relay on naval houses. Having a roof over my head was my allowance. The oldest of folk, young adult, surrounded by grief, big dreams and hope. They hate it and they doubt. How did you take it? Took it with a grain of salt.
Huh.
I wanted it badly, they couldn't stop me, indie. Hey, label wanted to sign.
Who you grew up on?
Grew up on Short and Freddie B.
Who else?
Magic Mike and Calvin T.
They used to tell me I couldn't go too far alone.
Oh.
They used to always say
from the BART train to a tour bus. Still the same game except I'm pulling more sluts, more butts, more bucks, never giving more fucks. Did it my way, I'm never taking shortcuts. Raised in a town like fool, who put you up on, huh? E40 Mac Dre is who I grew up on. I've been selling game, got you if you need a cue up on. You can check my resume, see every beat I throw up on. Smoking on grapes, rolling up swishers, no papes. Back of the ghost, closed drapes, I'm a boss tycoon. Girls in the crowd all swoon. Super high, I'm off to the moon. And I vanish with your girl, then I take her to my room. She wants me to slay, okay, that means doom, boom. And it's to be expected. Knew this would happen as soon as she texted.
They used to tell me I couldn't.